Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Christ, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we implore you, show your mercy to your humble servants, that we who put no trust in our own merits may not be dealt with after the severity of your judgment, but according to your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Third to the last Sunday of the church year is from Job, chapter 14. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring him into judgment with you? Who can bring a thing, clean thing out of an unclean? There is not one. Since his days are determined, and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass, look away from him and leave him alone, that he may enjoy like a hired hand his day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Your foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their own signs for signs.
Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from the heavens with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Job asks, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Then he answers his own question, saying, there is not one. If this is true, what hope is there for us sinners who are born of women, few of days, and full of trouble? If there is not one who can bring an unclean or clean thing out of an unclean thing, then we have no hope. But we do have hope. The Lord is our hope. There is one who can and does bring a clean thing out of an unclean, and his name is Jesus. He brings a clean thing out of an unclean, for the limits he has appointed, the days and months determined and set, he has also endured. For here is the greatest and most mysterious reality in all creation. God became man. He entered into his creation and submitted to his own law for you. He came into this unclean world full of unclean sinners and makes out of them a clean thing, the most clean thing, his holy bride, the church. Jesus, then, is your hope. For despite your many sins, he loves you. He has always loved you. He entered into your broken world, endured your politics and lies, all of your greed and transgressions. He suffered your hatred and brutality. He felt the sting of slander. He knows the worst of you, what dwells in your heart, the secrets you keep within, your vain ambitions and lusts, your greed and anger. He knows them all. And he himself has endured the worst this clean, unclean world could dish out. He has been betrayed and sold as a slave. He has lost loved ones to death and sin. His family was broken. His friends were fair-weathered. He faced a kangaroo court and was unjustly convicted of crimes he did not commit. He went before the Sanhedrin, before Pilate and the soldiers, before that wacky King Herod, and even before Satan himself, all alone. This was no minor inconvenience for him. Your sins, dear friends, your most vile and shameful sins, sent him, your hope, your Savior, Jesus, to death. But that was the death he came to die. It was not an accident, it wasn't a mistake or surprise. We might speak of his death being caused by your sin, and that is true. But we might more precisely speak of it being caused by his love. He came to lift himself up from the earth on the most evil thing the universe has ever constructed, the most evil thing the universe has ever seen, and to make that clean. The cross of hatred and torture, of injustice and murder, has become holy and good. That tree outside the city gates of Jerusalem, the most vile thing ever witnessed in history, has become now the tree of life, the fruits of which men and women, unclean sinners, eat and drink and become clean. For by that cross, the Lord has known your pains, your griefs, and your sorrows. He has borne the worst of man, the worst of you, and he has put it all to death. He did not shrink from it. It did not disgust him and turn him away. Instead, he has seen you at your worst, allowed men and hell to do their worst to him, and has not turned away so that he might save you. Hell is undone by him. It cannot hold you. Justice has no more to ask. It is spent. Your debts are gone. For even as he knows your pain and sorrow, so also he knows your guilt. He has felt it in his very soul, and he has taken it from you.
as his very own.
He who knew no sin,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God,
he who knew no sin became sin for you. He makes a clean thing out of an unclean thing by becoming unclean in your place, trading places with you, being your substitute, that he might endure all the suffering you deserve and in response, in place of that, give you all the glory he deserves. He has borne your guilt, suffered all of it on your behalf in order to remove it. And he has. It is no more. And so, too, does he know your complicated life and the troubles you continue to face in this unclean world, because he is not dead. We do not speak of only what he did 2,000 years ago on that cross. We speak of what our Lord continues to do for us today. So even now, even today, even at this moment, he knows both the evil and the good in your hearts. He knows your struggle to believe, to do good, to be fair, to tell the truth, to refrain from gossip, to walk away from temptation. And he knows how it hurts when you don't. Even when you don't feel that pain, he has felt it for you. He knows what keeps you awake at night and what you hope no one ever finds out. He knows how hard the task, how impossible the law is for you, even though he never failed in it, for he knows how weak you are. But despite all of this, he is not ashamed of you. He loves you. So it is that Job, all the suffering that that poor man endured, was still wrong to despair. For our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not far off. He is not cold and calculating. He is not petty or fickle. He has joined himself to you, become a man, took your flesh and blood unto himself, in order to stop death's terror and reign, to end the law's wrath, and to quiet the demands of justice, to give you peace. He has laid down his life and taken it up again for you. He can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. He has. He can make the cross the most holy thing in all the universe. He has. He cleanses and restores. He forgives, for he brings life out of death. He purges and purifies the souls of men with his very life. So despite your many sins, he still and always loves you and cares for you. Do not be afraid. He brings you, an unclean thing, out a clean thing. A thing that belongs to him, a thing that is united to him, a thing that is in communion with him, a one-flesh union that will never end. He brings you a saint, declared righteous out of a sinner, even as he has brought you here into his house as his immaculate bride. We do not gather here like vultures around a carcass to eat. We gather as attendants at a wedding. More than that, as invited guests, even more than that, as the pristine invited guest, the bride herself. We gather to eat the crucified but risen and living body of Jesus Christ our God and our bridegroom. He has tied himself to the bread and the wine that he gives you here. He has made a promise that will not fail and cannot lie. He does forgive your sins. He does preserve your faith. He will keep you till the end. So do not believe the false prophets when they point around and say, "Look inside yourself and find the Christ. Look into your feelings. Look into your emotions. Look into how you live and see whether or not you truly believe." Do not believe them when they claim false healings and miracles in the name of Jesus. Do not listen to them when they pretend to know the day of our Lord's second coming and put forth Hollywood-like scenarios of secret raptures and all kinds of other nonsense that is nowhere in the Bible before you. Do not believe them when they say that Jesus has done his part and now it is up to you to do yours. For Job is right that no man save Jesus, no man born in the natural way of women, of a woman, no man who enters this world inheriting the sin that Adam sinned, no man can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, can and does. So do not listen to those false prophets, and they are out there and they are many. Instead, follow your good shepherd's voice. Hear his word. He is where he has promised to be. That is the God he is. He is not a God far off. He is the God who enters into the midst of his people to feed them, to keep them, to save them. It is like unto lightning that is seen all over the earth at once. Christ is here today for us, hidden in the bread and wine and in his word preached. That is what he has said, and he is no liar. That is what he has promised, and he always keeps his promises. He is here, here among us in our assembly. He rides into the Jerusalem of his church humbly, lowly forms, and hears your greeting and praise, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he is pleased by it. He loves it. It fills him with joy to hear your prayers and praise, your songs with angels and archangels. He does not turn away. He is not ashamed of you. He is not angry at you. But he loves you, for you are his. He keeps his word, dearly beloved. You do eat his body, you do drink his blood, and you do that for your salvation. Your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, and you are united to Christ. Still, the sufferings come. These end-time things, trials and sufferings, wars and rumors of wars, waxing cold, betrayals and demons, all these things must. Every earthquake, hurricane, and unjust imprisonment, every bit of vain office politics, betraying spouse, wayward children, or corrupt government, every disease, death, and threat is but a sign that the end is, in fact, coming. That our sins are still with us in this unclean world. That death will have its day, for the wages of sin is death. But God has not forgotten you. Jesus lives. He will return. You are right to confess this each time you are gathered here as his bride in the church. Is there an increase of these things in our day? Do we see signs around us that tell us that our Lord is coming soon? Who is sufficient to know? No one. If Job had said that, he would have been right. Who can know the day or hour of our Lord's return? There is not one. But it doesn't matter. We live now in the end times. The church has lived in the end times since our Lord's first advent. He ushered the last days in with his first coming. So it is that our Lord Jesus Christ could return today, tomorrow, 10, 100, or 1,000 years from now, or more. None of that is for us to know. And anyone who tells you otherwise, anyone who claims to have some kind of inside knowledge by cracking secret codes in the Bible or looking at Mayan calendars or whatever other nonsense they come up with, anyone who claims to have this knowledge is one of the false prophets our Lord warns you to steer clear of. What we do know is that the end is never in doubt.
Violence will come, the kingdom of heaven will suffer it, but the gates of hell will not prevail. God has delivered us and declared us his people by violence. He brings clean things out of unclean. He is working for our good. Nothing, dear friends, is accidental. Our hope is Jesus Christ, alive out of death, still present among us to save us. He is our good shepherd who leads us to pastures green and still waters infused with his holy name. He makes us clean at the font every time he declares us forgiven in his name, when he preaches to us in his church, and most especially at the holy altar. And all these evil things, these broken bits of creation that come crashing down upon us, or which we bring down upon ourselves by our own sins, they all show the frailty, the temporary character of man and this world. But do not be afraid, beloved in Christ. Jesus is your God. He is alive, and he is coming back. He will bring you to be where he is. He will usher you into his kingdom, which has no end, and you will dwell there where there is no sin and no effects forever. Encourage one another with these words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Away from thy presence and take now thy us pray.
Heavenly Father, in these gray and latter days, we wait eagerly for the appearing of our Lord. Prepare our hearts and minds that we be ready for his return. By your Spirit, grant us to fix our hearts and minds on the wisdom of your word, a treasure that is more priceless than the earthly mammon in which we so often trust. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, teach us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Even as you showed your love in sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. Break our prideful hearts, so that we do not hold on to grievances, but forgive as freely as we have been forgiven by you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, protect the weakest among us, all children in the womb and all those advanced in years. By your Holy Spirit, create in us clean hearts that treasure human life and trust in you above all else. Teach us, your children, to be active in love toward all our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, give strength to the weak, patience to the anxious, healing to the sick, and peace to all, that they may give thanks to you for your mercies, which are new every morning. We pray especially for Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Mary Jacquelet, Marlene Miller, Billy Odie, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, John Lemmerman, Brandy Bradley, Jane Tennant, Kimberly Tolk, Katie Jacquelet, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Brenda Lalonde, and Mary Heisler. Keep them and all your children in the faith that waits and hopes in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for gathering us together around your holy word and sacraments here in your holy church. Grant repentance and faith to all those who come to the holy altar this day, that they might receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to their abundant blessing and everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to
and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Lord Jesus Christ on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
The very body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptism and gospel. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ, the very Lord of Christ, the very body of Christ.
For you.
this holy and precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Upon you and give you peace.